And we're holding on Ayin Hey Amud Aleph, the second line. And we learned yesterday about the big three of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shfichus Damim, that a person is required to be Moser Nefesh to not violate those. And we talked about the different scenarios when even outside of those a person has to go on Mesiras Nefesh. Namely, we said when it's Shas HaShma, the time when the Goyim are trying to outlaw Judaism entirely, or when it's Befahesia, when it's in the presence and the knowledge of 10 Jews. So one thing also we had learned about, one of the last things we had learned about, is that besides for the three themselves, there was also something called abizrayhu, which means the outgrowth, so things that have to do with those. So now the Gemara is going to give an example of a story that involves abizrayhu of Arayas, and what happened as a result of it. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rab, Ma'isa ba'adam echad shenosen eino be'isha achas." It happened that a certain man put his eyes on a certain woman, meaning he started having an attraction and a desire to her. The hell of belibertina, and it got so bad, his desire for her was so bad that his heart was full of tina. Rashi says it means nimurik, like he's wasting away. Rashi is the hell of choyri, like he became sick from it. So in other words, in short, the Yad Rama explains similarly, nitamtim liber, like his heart is stopped up. So in other words, he's physically ill from the fact that he has such a desire for her and he can't accomplish it. So they went and asked the doctors what to do for Omru, and the doctors said, "Well, there's no way of correcting the matter. He's going to die from this unless she actually has relations with him." Omru Chachamim, the Chacham said, "No, Yomus Val Tibor Loi, better let him die rather than that she should have relations with him." Now, we're going to discuss in the Gemara soon what the scenario was. Was she an Eishes Ish? Was she a Pnuya? We'll get into that soon. In any case, the Chacham said that, "No, nothing doing, we don't allow it." So then the doctor said, "Tamid Lefon of Aruma, well then at least let her stand in front of him undressed. And maybe that'll be enough to cure him." Now, the Orach HaNer points out at this point, the Chachamim realize that something's fishy over here. If first the doctors had said, there's no way to correct the situation except that she's going to have relations with him, and now all of a sudden they're turning it around and saying, "No, you know what, actually it might be enough for her to stand naked in front of him," then already the Orach HaNer says that the Chachamim realize that, no, we can't necessarily trust what these doctors are saying, and therefore, even though, as the doctors are going to go on and on with it, and they're going to point out things that on the face of it shouldn't be osur, the Orach HaNer learns that the Chacham at this point figured that, no, we really can't trust what they're saying at all. There are a lot of different other explanations, and we'll get to it after we get through the basic story. Anyway, so they said, let her do that. The Chacham said, "No, Yomus Val Tamid Lefon of Aruma, better let him die without even that." They said to Safa, which, by the way, the Baal Amor learns from here halacha that we see from this evidently that even to see a woman undressed would be a matter of Yehorek Val Yaver. However, not everybody agrees with that. One practical question of that is, therefore, for example, would it be Yehorek Val Yaver to go to the beach? So Rav Moshe actually has a tshuva on the subject. He says, no, it's not really exactly the same scenario as what the Baal Amor is talking about. And then actually he learns that actually it is also to do that because it brings a person to hear her, but it's not necessarily a case like what the Baal Amor is describing, that it would actually be Yehorek Val Yaver. But it is also on other grounds. Anyway, Okay, so the doctor said to Sapa Imamat Chore Hageder. Fine, let her at least talk with him from behind a fence. And the Chum said, still not. Yomus Valta Savola to Sapa Imamat Chore Hageder. Better let him die rather than she should even talk with him from behind a fence. Ben Yehoyada actually wants to say that what they were saying is both. We'll combine the two things. We'll have her be undressed and behind a fence. So that way, at least, you know, he can fantasize for himself about seeing her, and that way that might help. And the doctors and the Chachamim are still saying nothing doing for reasons that the Gemara is going to explain now. An interesting thing, by the way, is Now the Gemara stops the story over here, and it's going to explain what the scenario was, what was the status of this woman, was she married or not, but the Gemara does not end up saying what happened with the man. There is actually an interesting explanation the Chidah brings, that much earlier in the Masechta, at the end of the third Perek, we had a story over there involving, where Rav Ukva was sent a message that begins with the Zivlei Kedbar Basya. This message is addressed to the one whose face shines like the son of Basya, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu. And Rashi brings the story over there that one time he exactly this kind of thing. He had his eyes on a certain woman and held a libertina, and he started feeling very sick because of it. But and she was an Eishes Ish, and actually she, and then there came a point when she was so desperate for money, she needed to borrow money from him, that she was willing to be over and submit to him, but he controlled his Yetzirah and did not do anything with her and was healed from then on. He had a special light, Min HaShemayim, over him whenever he went out into the street, and that's why they called him that's why they called Ma'ukva the one who shines like Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Chidah says this is exactly the same story. Here the Gemara is telling the first half of the story of how the Chachamim weren't going to allow the rules to be bent for him to recover, and then Rashi over there tells the second half of the story that eventually she was so desperate at one point that she was ready to be over, but then at that point he controlled his Yetzirah and in fact recovered. So the Gemara says, Pligibar Rab Yaakov Va'idi V'Rab Shmuel Banachmeni. Now, what was the scenario over here? What was the status of this woman? So Rab Yaakov Va'idi and Rab Shmuel Banachmeni disagree what her status was. Chad Oma, Eishes Ish Hoysa, V'Chad Oma Pnuya Hoysa. One of them says she was a married woman, and the other one says that no, she was unmarried. So let's analyze that. According to the explanation that she was an Eishes Ish, then it becomes easier to understand the whole story. So obviously the Chachamim are not going to say that she's going to have relations with him, because that would be Gilui Arayos. And the various other possibilities that the doctors mentioned. Now, fine, if we go with what the Orach HaNer says, then the Chachamim are realizing the doctors don't know what they're talking about. At first, they're saying it has to be Kibbola, and then they're saying, it would be enough of something else. With that said, there are other Mephoshim who say that maybe what it is, for example, the Chavis Yer says that maybe they're saying, you're not going to allow us to, we're not going to allow them to go all the way, but maybe at least we can try. Maybe at least seeing her undressed would be enough to cure him. And then the Iyun Yaakov explains doesn't even mean that the doctors are saying the other things. The Chachamim are going on and saying, you're telling us to boil oil and that's the only way you're going to cure him. Not only we're not going to allow that, but even for her to be undressed in front of him, or even to talk from behind a fence, is also going to be also, because this is all Abizrahu, this is all an outgrowth of Gilui Arayos, and therefore it's going to be a Horeg Val Yaver. So again, the Baal HaMor actually learns from here LaHalacha that all these kinds of things would in fact be a Horeg Val Yaver. Different other Mephoshim give different other explanations to say that's not really a solid proof. In particular, that Advaz says that, listen, here, it's the guy's own fault in the first place. He brought it on himself by having such a taiva for her, so therefore the Chachamim are not necessarily going to allow him to do anything to get out of it, even because if we assume she was an Eishes Ish, because he brought it on himself in the first place. Anyway, so if she was an Eishes Ish, then it's easy to understand what happened. El Amanda Oma Pnuya Hoysa, but if you say that she was a Pnuya, she was an unmarried woman, my Kulahai, then what's the big deal? To that extent, that's not considered Gilui Arayos. In fact, there are Mephoshim who argue that maybe even the Gemara is wondering that maybe she should be required, the same way as we learned earlier in the Gemara, on Daf Ayin Gimel, that a person is required to save another Yid's life, and we talked about over there, does that mean maybe even according to some Mephoshim, he's required to put himself in a degree of danger in order to do that? Maybe according to that way of looking at it, she should actually be required to have relations with him to save his life. So why are the Chachamim, so why are the Chachamim banning it? But fine, even if we don't say that she's required to do that, the question is, why don't the Chachamim allow it as a one-time thing? Why shouldn't he be able to save his life this way? And even we're saying, even to the extent of him not speaking with her when she's behind a fence, etc. So the Gemara answer is Rav Papa Amar Mishum Pgam Mishpacha. Rav Papa says the reason is because of the embarrassment to her family that it would shame them that this is going to happen. So the Aruch HaNer explains that means particularly about the Be'ila. And again, he learns the other things, the speaking and the being undressed and whatever, is more because at this point they just don't trust the doctors anymore. On the other hand, though, there are Mefarshim who learn that it means that even these other kinds of things would actually be an embarrassment and a shame to the family. Now, you could say you're saving a fellow Yid's life, but again, here it is. Related to Arias, and again, it was his fault in the first place. He brought himself to this, so therefore Pgam Mishpacha would be a valid reason to block it from happening, even if the doctors are saying that it could change his life, that it could save his life. There's other points as well. Also, another point as well is that here we're telling her basically Shev Val Tase, don't do these kinds of things, and therefore that might be a valid thing to do. Maybe better that than actually allow to do something, even though that doing something might save him. Anyway, so that's one point. Another reason is you don't want that Jewish women should be loose with Arias. Like this, you're going to have that people are, Rashi explains, what's going to happen in the future? You're going to have men are going to be looking at women and then having a taiva for them, and then we're going to have the same kind of thing where he's going to become so sick that the doctors are going to say you need to do such and such. And we want to head that kind of thing off to begin with. Okay. Well, the Gemara asks, the Linsav Aminsav. Well, instead of all of these things, let her have relations with him outside of marriage, or be undressed in front of him, or speak with him from behind a fence, etc., why doesn't he just marry her? If she's an atheist-ish, obviously that's not an option, but if we're going to say that she's a penuria, why don't we just have them get married? And that would be, and again, maybe even according to just one way of looking at it, maybe even she'd be required to agree to marry him in order to save his life. But even if not, then the question is, why are the Chachamim saying, well, you know what, let him die? Why don't they just give him advice to marry her? And that would be, actually, Rashi points out, then you wouldn't have an Aveda, then on the contrary, you have a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to get married, after all. So the answer is loy miyas v'daite. That wouldn't calm him down. That wouldn't settle his yetzahara. Namely, kedid Rabbi Yitzchak. The reason is based on what Rabbi Yitzchak says. The Amar Rabbi Yitzchak miyoyim shachara beis hamikdash. Ever since the beis hamikdash was destroyed, nitla tam bia. The taste, the real full pleasure of bia has been taken away from people who do beheter, v'nitnal over aveira, and it was given only to those who do aveira, who are committing znus. Meaning, in other words, it actually explains, after the Bismillah was destroyed, people are so full of worries and concerns and everything that their strength is weakened. So therefore, a person doesn't have as much of a taiva as he had before. As opposed to the over aveira, the yetzahara strengthens them and causes their taiva to increase. Even though objectively you would think that they're also suffering from the same worries and concerns and stresses and strains of Golos, but the Yetzer Hara specifically goes and puts in energy to give them the strength to do that. Tosfos elsewhere explains, and Marsha explains similarly over here, that the pasuk, the Gemara is going to bring a pasuk for this, which was written by Shlomo HaMalach when the first Beis HaMikdash had just been built. But what we're saying is, in other words, that originally everybody had the same tam, whether they were the heter or the iser. After the Churban, it was taken away from those who have it the heter, and it remained just as strong by those who are doing the iser. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Mayim Gnuvim Yimtiku, stolen waters are sweet, the lechem sonim yinam, and bread of secrecy is pleasant. Rashi points out that bread is a euphemism for a wife, as we find by Yosef with Potiphar, where it says that Potiphar trusted him with everything, kim alechem ashohu oichol, except the bread that he ate, which means that he didn't allow him to be with his wife, which is why a couple of psukim later, when the wife tries seducing Yosef, he specifically says that everything in this household is under my control, except you, because you're his wife. So we see the word lechem as a euphemism for a wife, and therefore Shlomo is saying bread, meaning having relations in secret. Yinam is pleasant, meaning in other words that there's a certain extra taiva that a person has when it's osur rather than when it's mutter. So therefore, in short, if he had married this woman, then there's heter, then his yetzahara is not going to be trying to get him to do it, because then just the opposite, it's a mitzvah, and therefore he's not going to have the same intensity of feeling, and therefore the Chachamim realize it's not going to cure his situation. The only thing is, either he's going to die, or he's going to have to overcome his Yetzirah, and not have a taiva for her. And in fact, according to the Chidah, that's exactly what he ended up doing, and he became the Mar Ukva, the Nosen Jutsutsisa, that we talked about earlier in the Masechta. The Gemara elsewhere mentions this point as well, that when there's an Isser involved, sometimes people feel a greater taiva towards it than they do even to having the same thing beheter. In a positive sense, you have something that famously says the Alter Rebbe when he was learning with Rabbi Avraham Amalach, son of the Mizr Magid, the arrangement was that the arrangement was the Alter Rebbe would teach, the Malach would teach him Nigla, because the Alter Rebbe was a great expert in Nigla. The Malach would be teaching the Alter Rebbe Kabbalah and Chassidus, because that was what he was the expert in. They would have a certain amount of time where each of them is supposed to be teaching the other. The Alter Rebbe would move the clock hands back, because the Malach, where the Rabbi Avram was so uninvolved in matters of this world that he wouldn't realize that the clock had changed. He wouldn't realize how much time had passed. So therefore, the Alter Rebbe was able to steal extra in that way, extra time for Rabbi Avram to teach him Chassidus. And he said afterwards, this is a positive example of Mayim Gnuvim Yimtiku, that you enjoy it more because it's stolen, because you got it in that underhanded way. Hadron Aloch Ben Sarah. Turning now to, so now in the last two prakim we've been going through all the cases of people who are chayef skila. So now we're up to sreifa. So our perek is going to deal with the people who are chayef sreifa, who are chayef hereg, and then it's going to talk about various other things that are related to that, as far as people who are chayef misa. And then in the perek after that we're going to do chenek, and with that we're going to finish the four misas based in. So the Mishnah says, "Ve'elu hein anisrofin." The following are the people who get sreifa. Habal isha uvita. A man has relations with a woman and her daughter. Now we're going to clarify in the Gemara. It doesn't just mean where he married a woman and then he's also having relations with her daughter, because that we're going to see that we have other categories that include that. So we're going to see that the Mishnah means something more than means more than just a man's own wife's daughter. Because if it's his own daughter, then his daughter herself is. It actually doesn't say explicitly in the pasuk. We're going to learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, how we know it's Aser. And if we're talking about his wife has a daughter from another marriage, then that. Also, we're going to explain in the Gemara that it doesn't mean that. It means something more general, as we'll see. Ubas koyin shezinsa, and the other case of a person who gets sreifa is a bas koyin who committed znus. Whereas we learned extensively around daf nun nun aleph, we had a three way machloikus in what cases she gets sreifa, whether when she's an arusa or when she's in a sewer or both. But in any case, there are cases where she gets sreifa, so that's the other one. Now, we need to break down yesh b'chlal isha uvita, included in the category of isha uvita, of a woman and her daughter, is as follows. Meaning, in other words, that a man's not allowed to have relations with a woman and with her daughter. That it says explicitly, as we're going to see in the Gemara. But you have included in them are certain other cases that it doesn't explicitly say in the pasuk, but nevertheless are included, and they include as follows. Bitoy, his daughter, which as we're going to learn in the Gemara, it never actually says in so many words in the pasuk that he's also to have relations with his own daughter. Obas Bitoy, his daughter's daughter. Obas Bnoy, and his son's daughter. Obas Ishtoy, the daughter of his wife, meaning in other words, if his wife has a daughter from another marriage. Actually, as far as Bitoy and Bas Bitoy and Bas Bnoy, Rashi points out all of those we're talking about not where he was married to her mother, but rather we're talking about where he and her and the mother had a relationship outside of marriage. So Reuven goes and has a relationship with Rachel outside of marriage, whether rape, whether seduction, doesn't really matter whether boyfriend and girlfriend, doesn't really matter for our purposes. The point is, he and Rachel are not married. If now they have a daughter, Dina, then he's also to have relations with Dina. He was never married to her mother, doesn't matter. And the same thing with Bas Bnoi, and Ben and Bas Bito, and Bas Bnoi means, in other words, again, where the relationship between Reuben and Rachel was one outside of marriage, and now they had a son, or they had a daughter, and eventually that son or daughter has a daughter of their own, then they were all also to him as well. Ubas Ishtoi, then you have the case where it's his wife's daughter, whether we're talking about it's also his own biological daughter, or whether we're talking about that she's his stepdaughter, that his wife had her from another relationship. Ubas Bita, his wife's daughter's daughter. Ubas Bna, and his wife's son's daughter. Chamoisoi, also his mother-in-law. The Aim Chamoisoi, and the mother of his mother-in-law. The Aim Chamiv, and the mother of his father-in-law. So all of those are also Minat Torah, and all of those are chayev slefa. So altogether in the Mishnah, then we've listed 9 types of relationships, plus the Bas Koyen. So altogether there are 10 cases where a person gets slefa. We learned earlier, by the way, we learned that when it comes to the Bas Koyen, she gets slefa, the one she committed znus with gets chenek or skila, as the case may be. In all these other cases that we're talking about, both of them get slefa, assuming, of course, it was consensual. If he did it, and it was an onus to the other one, then, of course, as usual, as we learned in the previous perek, the woman who was nanas is not punished. Okay, so the Gemara starts off. Habal isha shenasa bita lekatani. Now, the Mishnah does not say the case where he had relations with a woman who he had married her daughter. In other words, the point of the Gemara is the point of departure for the Mishnah is as follows. The obvious case to assume that Isha Uvita would be to assume, in other words, he married a woman and we're talking about having relations with her daughter. But since the Mishnah goes on to say that Yesh Bechlal, that included in the general category of Isha Uvita, is his daughter or his wife's daughter, so therefore we understand that the Isha Uvita of the first line of the Mishnah is not referring to his wife's daughter, or woman that he was ma'anis, and we're talking about her daughter. So it sounds like, in other words, we're talking about that. And the Mishnah is also not talking about where he married the daughter and now he has relations with her mother, because that also the Mishnah continues to say that's included. Chamoisa, his mother-in-law. So what does it mean? So Ella habal isha uvita miklal tavayu liisura. The implication is that the words isha uvita of the first line of the Mishnah is where both of them are osur. In other words, let's consider. Reuben marries Rachel. He's perfectly entitled to marry Rachel. Now, if he has relations with Rachel's daughter, whether it's that daughter is also his own daughter, or whether it's Rachel's daughter only, either way we're saying that's osur. The point is, in other words, that only one of those two relationships is osur. And the same thing if he were to have relations with her mother. But now we're saying, since the Mishnah goes and spells those out later, then that means the Isha Uvita of the first line of the Mishnah must mean we're talking about where both of them to begin with are osur. So therefore, it can't be referring to his wife and her daughter. It can't be referring to his wife and her mother. So who would the Mishnah be referring to? Chamoisei ve'im chamoisei. We'd be talking about his mother-in-law and his grandmother-in-law. So in other words, he's married to Rachel. Rachel's mother is Rivka. Rivka's mother is Sarah. So now we're saying if he were to have relations with Rivka or with Sarah, then we're talking about those chiyuv srefa, the chayiv misa, the chayiv misa. Now, the Katani, Yesh Bechlal Isha Uvita. Now then, the Mishnah is saying that included in that are the various relationships that we mentioned in the Mishnah. Miklal the Tavayu Ksivu Behedya, which implies that the two that we were mentioning are actually written clearly in the Torah, the Hanach, Midrasha Asya, and all the other ones are derived from a Midrasha. So, we have to figure out where exactly does it say in the Pasuk this kind of thing, that if he were to have relations with his mother-in-law, or with his grandmother-in-law, that he would be Chayiv Misa. Now, the Pasuk mentions the point about a man having relations with a woman and her daughter. And the Pasuk says on it, Be'esh Yisrufu Oisei Ve'es Hen. It says you should burn him and them. Now again, we have to consider what exactly does that pasuk oisei ve'es hen mean, and we're going to have a discussion later on in the Gemara. We're going to have a machlokas, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, about how we derive it. One way of understanding it is, now the basic question is as follows. The expression of the pasuk is that a man marries a woman and her, that a man marries or has relations with a woman and her mother. So the pasuk says, Ba'ish Yisrufu Oisei Ve'eshen. You should burn him and them in fire. Now the question is, what do you mean them? If he's married to Rachel, for example, and then he has relations with her mother, there's no reason Rachel should be executed. They didn't do anything. She was perfectly mutter to Reuven. The only ones who should be given Sreifa are Reuven and Rachel's mother. So what do we mean by eshen? So you have a machloikas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva how to learn it. Rabbi Shmuel points out that the word hen in Greek means one. It's distantly related to the word one in English. In fact, you have the words in many Indo-European languages are all related to that. Anyway, the point is that Rabbi Shmuel therefore darshans that the pasuk is saying va'esh yisufu oisai the eshen and one of them, whichever one was also to him in the first place. So in our scenario, Rachel isn't getting executed. She didn't do anything wrong. The one who's getting Sreifa is Rachel's mother and Reuven, who was Mizana with her. So Rabbi Shmuel learns that way, and Rabbi Akiva explains that no, it means that both of them are chayev, because again, we're talking about, to begin with, where both of them are also to him. For example, again, we're talking Rachel's mother and grandmother. So you have that machlokas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Then on top of that, you have a machlokas of Abaya and Rava. What exactly is the machlokas? What is the nature of the machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva? Abaya holds there's no real argument in that between them, the halacha. They're arguing about how to douch in the psukim, but they both agree with the actual dinim about when a person is chayiv seifa. On the other hand, Rava holds there is an actual nakamina between them. What happens if he has relations with his mother-in-law after his wife died? So in our scenario, Rachel dies, and then he has relations with Rachel's mother. Rabbi Shmuel would learn that according to Rava's way of understanding the machloitas, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva both agree that there's an issue here, obviously. But the question, according to Rava, Rabbi Shmuel would say that since it says es hen, and again Rabbi Shmuel is darshaning the word hen to mean one, he would say even if only one of them is alive, you still have the same chiyuv sreifa. So according to him, even though Rachel is already dead, he had relations with Rachel's mother, therefore he and she are chayiv sreifa. Whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, no, Rabbi Akiva understands eshen to mean both of them, and therefore Rabbi Akiva learns only if both of them are alive is there a chayiv sreifa. If the wife has died, then according to Rabbi Akiva, there's no sreifa. There was a lav involved, but there's kores and all that, but no sreifa. So now, again, let's go back to the Gemara over here. Let's go back to the Mishnah. We have the line in the Mishnah, Baal Isho Vita. We're establishing that the Isho Vita of our Mishnah are both Osir. So therefore, for example, we're talking about his wife's mother and his wife's mother's mother. So both of them are also to him to begin with. And now we're saying though that evidently the Mishnah is implying both of them. It says clearly in the pasuk, and now all the other ones that are mentioned in the Mishnah were deriving in with various limudim. So Hanichal Abaya. So this works out well according to Abaya. The Omer Mashmoes Doshin Ikabeinayu, where he says that both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva agree about the basic fact that both of them are usur, and the question is just whether what the word eshen means, where again Rabbi Shmuel is saying that it means that if he has relations with a woman and with her mother, then one of them gets sreifa. So according to him, then the grandmother-in-law is learned only from a drasha. And meanwhile, Rabbi Akiva holds that eshen means that both of them are mentioned in the pasuk, the mother-in-law and the grandmother-in-law. So then, according to Abaye, you can say masnisin mani Rabbi Akiva. Then you would say, fine, our Mishnah then, the fact that our Mishnah uses the word habal isho vita and implies that is said clearly in the pasuk, fine, that couldn't work out according to Rabbi Shmuel, because Rabbi Shmuel understands the pasuk to be talking about Rachel and her mother, not Rachel's mother and grandmother. So then, and Rabbi Akiva, meanwhile, according to Abaye, learns that the pasuk is referring to Rachel's mother and grandmother. So then, fine, our Mishnah would be like Rabbi Akiva. Ela l'Rava, d'amachamoysel achamisa ikabenayu. But according to Rava, who holds that the machlokas, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, is what happens after his wife dies. Is he chayav sreifa for having relations with her mother? According to both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, it never talks about Rachel's mother in the pasuk and about Rachel's grandmother in the pasuk at all. It talks about Rachel and her mother, and the pasuk is distinguishing between whether what happens when Rachel is alive versus after she's dead. Where according to Rabbi Shmuel, regardless the sreifa, and according to Rabbi Akiva, it has to be both of them are alive for there to be sreifa. So according to that, Masnissin Mani, then who would, according to Rava's way of understanding, who would our Mishnah be like if our Mishnah is implying that both the mother-in-law and the grandmother-in-law are both said clearly in the pasuk, according to Rabbi Akiva, they are not. And the answer is, Amalach Rava Tani, Abal Isha Shenasa Vita. Fine, Rava will say, you know what, the Mishnah doesn't mean Isha Uvita, where the woman and her daughter are both also in the first place, because you're right, it doesn't clearly say that in the pasuk, but rather, the pasuk is saying of a man who has relations with a woman whose daughter he married. So, meaning, in other words, we're saying exactly that. We're talking about that he has relations with Rachel's mother, and that it definitely says clearly in the pasuk. So in fact, now in the pasuk you have in the pasuk it mentions that he marries the daughter and then the mother, because that's the seder. He marries Rachel, and therefore he becomes osur in the mother. But here in the Mishnah, it would be the other way around. Habal isha shenasa bita, because the fact is that why is she oster to him? Because he married her daughter, and therefore that would be when the chiyuv sreifa is. So the Mishnah can be made to work according to Rava as well. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Yesh b'chal ito isho vita chamoseve im chamiv. So we said that there were several ones included in that, and also this iser of a woman and her daughter then also includes his mother-in-law, his mother-in-law's mother, and his father-in-law's mother. So again, let's figure out how this part of the Mishnah would work according to Abaya and Rava's respective explanations. According to Abaya, that the Mishnah has already talked about his mother-in-law and his grandmother-in-law, so then the Mishnah is just Aydi to Kaboyla Mishnah, Eim Chamiv, because the Mishnah also has to mention his father-in-law's mother, which that wasn't mentioned yet. That we're going to learn from a Darasha. Toninami Chamoisev, Eim Chamoisev, so therefore it mentions the mother-in-law and the mother-in-law's mother, even though according to Abaya, those were already implied in the first line of the Mishnah. Lerava, according to Rava, the grandmother has never been the grandmother-in-law has never been mentioned yet. Then therefore, but according to him, the mother-in-law has been mentioned. I did kaboy lemisna aim chamim ve'aim chamoisa, because I have to mention both grandmothers-in-law, both grandmothers-in-law, the father-in-law's mother and the mother-in-law's mother. So therefore, tani nami chamoisa. So therefore, it also mentions his mother-in-law, even though she was already mentioned in the first line of the Mishnah. Next, Minahani Mili. Now, where do we know all this from? Where do we learn that all of these cases are, in fact, Chayiv Misa or Chayiv Sreifa? The Tanan Abanan. So we learn in a Braisa. The Pasuk says, Ve'isha sheyikach as isha ves ima v'gomer. A man who has relations with a woman and her mother. So then the pasuk says they get sreifa. Eim li ela isha ve'ima. So far from the pasuk, you would only know that it means a woman and her mother. Bas isho, bas bito, bas b'no minayin. How do we know it also includes the woman's daughter and her daughter's daughter and her son's daughter, which are three of the ones that we mentioned in the Mishnah. So how do we know that they're also there, there's sreifa? So nemakan zima, v'nemala halam zima. We have the word zima used in connection with the woman and her mother, where the pasuk says a man has relations isha sheyikach as isha ve'asima zima he. The pasuk says it's zima. The word zima means basically a conspiracy, a thought of doing evil. I mean, all arayas are that, but there are certain arayas where the Torah spells out and uses this word zima. And then we have when it comes to a few psukim later. Or rather, not a few psukim later. Keep in mind, when it comes to the arayas, you have the warnings about the arayas in Parshas Achrimos, and then you have the punishments for them in Parshas Kedoshim. These two words, zima, that we're quoting, the first one was from Parshas Kedoshim, where it talks about the punishments. The man has relations with a woman and her mother, zima he, then it's a conspiracy to do evil, and ba'esh yisufu oisev eskin. Then you have Uliu in Parshas Achrimos, where it says you're not as eras isho vitolos gala. You're not allowed to have relations with a woman and her daughter. And there it does mention the granddaughters as basbana, as basbita, and they also it uses the word zima. Malahalan bito vasbana. So just like when it comes to the warning in Parshas Achrimos, it means not only the woman, but herself, but also not only the woman and her daughter, but also her granddaughter, Afkan, bito vaspana. The same way when it comes to Srefa, means also that it includes her daughter or her granddaughter. Next, minayin lasis zachorim kinakavis. How do we know that men and women are equal in that regard? What does that mean? The bright after the Gemara quotes, the whole braisa of the Gemara is going to explain what that phrase means. And again, the answer is nemakan zima, v'nemalahalan zima, the same zera shava of the word zima, malahalan, schorim kinakavis, afkan schorim kinakavis, that in both cases the men and the women are equal. We're going to see in the Gemara soon what that means. In other words, basically, it's going to mean it's going to mean. So on the surface, what it means is, in other words, the same way as the Pasuk mentions equally the daughter's, the son's daughter and the daughter's daughter. So therefore, the same thing would be with the punishment. We'll see in the Gemara. We'll see in the Gemara soon. Next, minayin lasis lamata kilamaila. How do we know, in addition, that what's lamata, that's lower down, is like what's lamaila, what's above? That also the Gemara is going to deal with in a little bit, what exactly those phrases above and below mean. And on top of that, by the way, the Gemara over here was saying lamaila kilamata, but the Marsha explains, based on Rashi's comments further on the days, that really the Gusa should be the other way around, lamata kilamaila, that what's below should be like what's above. Anyway, so how do we know that they're equated? So nemakan zima, v'nemalahalan zima, because again you have this word zima. Malahalan, lamaila kilamata, afkan lamata kilamaila. Umakan, lamaila kilamata, aflahalan lamaila kilamata. So we're equating in both directions. We're saying that lamaila and lamata, what's above and what's below, are going to be the same as we're going to explain in the Gemara, soon. Actually, so sorry, what Marsha says as far as the Girsa is that first the Braisa had said that we learn that how do we know that Lamata is just like Lamaila, so now the Braisa is saying that so the Braisa is saying because of the Gzera Shava Zima, therefore we have just like there, Mata, Lamata is like Lamaila, the same thing, Lamata is like Lamaila, and then the Braisa, the Gears that we have in front of us continues, and then just like over here, Lamaila is Kilamata, the same way Lamaila is Kilamata, so Marsha changes it and says throughout the Braisa, all four times, it's supposed to say Lamata Kilamaila rather than the Gears that we have in front of us, where two of them are Lamata Lamaila and two of them are Lamaila Lamata, as we'll see on Amadei is what all that means. Okay. So thus far the Braisa. So now let's analyze it. Omamar, minayin lasis schorim kinakavis. So the first part of the Braisa is easy enough to understand. We're saying we have a gzeira shava, the word zima, in both places. And again, since in Parshas Achrimos it mentions a woman and her daughter, and it mentions also a woman and her daughter's daughter, or a woman and her son's daughter, then therefore we understand by the gzeira shava that the same thing is true as far as the Srefa, that it applies across the board to them. So now the Braisa said, minayin lasis schorim kinakavis. How do we know to make the boys like the girls? So mai schorim kinakavis. What does that mean exactly? Ilema bas bna kibas bita. Do you mean, as it sounds like on the surface, that the daughter, that the son's daughter is exactly the same as the daughter's daughter in that regard? You don't need that. Bahadi hadori ka'astian. They're right there together in the same pasuk. They're the same drosha that covers one, covers the other, because it says clearly in the pasuk as bas bna vas bas bita. So you don't need a separate limud to say that one of them is included where we wouldn't have known the other one. So evidently, then we would have to say the Braisa is saying that the mother of his father-in-law is the same as the mother of his mother-in-law, which otherwise we wouldn't have known. The problem with that is The problem is we're kind of jumping the gun over here. We haven't yet gotten to the point of knowing about how we know that Eim Chamoisa is Osir. So far the Braisa had been talking about Isha, Isha Ubita. So again, either Isha means his own wife, or even if you say that Isha to begin with means his, means means his, even Rashi, so Rashi explains like this. Again, going back to that machlokas Abaya and Rava before, the basic underlying machlokas between them is when the Mishnah says Isha, Ubita, who is the Isha in connection of it? Who is the Isha under discussion of it here? Does it mean his own wife, or does it mean his wife's mother, or does it mean his wife's mother? If you tell me that it means his wife, then we haven't b'chlal discussed how we even know from the pasuk that his wife's mother and grandmother are osur. Okay, wife's mother we do, actually, but wife's grandmother we don't know yet, which would be his father-in-law's mother or his mother-in-law's mother. Even if you tell me that, like Rava, that we are in fact talking about both of them, then fine. Nevertheless, though, we only know that because it says Ba'ish Yisufu Oisav Es, and we're still, we haven't worked that out yet. We haven't gotten to that detail yet. So how could the Braisa be saying as a given, we know that this applies to the Nekevis? How do we know it applies to the Schorim is from the following pasuk, but we haven't really established yet clearly that it applies to the Nekevis in the first place? How do we know in the first place that it applies to the wife's mother's mother? So what does the Braita mean? So that's the question. Aim Chamoisa, like, come along. We haven't yet clarified how we know that his wife, that his mother-in-law's mother, would be also to him. Aim Chovim Mahadra Allah. How is he already jumping ahead and saying from her we can learn that his father-in-law's mother would also be also and would be Chayiv Sefer? So the answer is Omer Abaya Hochi Karma. So Abaya explains that part of the Braisa, the Schorim and the Nekevis, means as follows. The Schorim and the Nekevis, we're not talking anymore about the ancestors above his wife. Now we're talking about the descendants below him and his wife. Minayim Lasa She'er Habomi Menu to She'er Habomi Menu. How do we know that relationships that come from him, namely his own daughter and his own granddaughter and so forth, are like She'er Abami Mena, are like descendants that come from her? Meaning, in other words, again, we had in the Mishnah, we had his own daughter and his son's daughter and his daughter's daughter, where we said that daughter may not even be from a marriage, but rather from an oinus relationship or some other relationship outside of marriage. Then we also mentioned you can have his wife's daughter, and his wife's son's daughter or daughter's daughter, where again, those are not necessarily his biological children. Those are his stepchildren or step-grandchildren that his wife had from a different relationship. So now, Abaya says, what the Braisa is saying is, how do we know that equation, that the relations that come from him, his own daughter from an anusa, or his own granddaughter, etc., are exactly like the ones from his wife? Because the point of the question is that when you're talking about his wife's daughter, then you're talking about that he and his wife have done kiddushin, they have a proper marriage over there. So we're saying, in other words, for Rachel's children to be also to Reuben, it has to be that Rashi brings from a relevant Gemara in Yevamos, it has to be that Reuben and Rachel are actually married. So in other words, in short, if Reuven were to be Ma'anis Rachel, then she has a daughter from a previous marriage, who therefore this daughter is not biologically related to Reuven, and she's not the daughter of Rachel, she's not Reuven's stepdaughter either, because Rachel and Reuven never got married, then the daughter is in fact not also to Reuven. And that's the question, therefore. So how do we know, therefore, that it should have, that with him it doesn't matter whether there was oinus or whether it was a marital relationship? So for that we need the gzeira shava. So that's what Abaya is saying. Minayin lasa she'er abomi menu ke she'er abomi menu. How do we know that the rules, as far as descendants that come from him, a daughter or granddaughter from his anusa, are like she'er abomi menu, are like children that come from his wife, where they're also their ulcer? And the answer is Nemakan Zima Venemla Halan Zima Vahola. So that's where we're using the Gzeira Shava Zima to say that it is the same thing. So just like when it's her daughter or granddaughter, whether they're his biological daughter or granddaughter, then he's Chayav Misa, the same way with his ones as well. They're his biological descendants, and therefore he's Chayav Sreifa, and it doesn't matter that there was oinus involved. So the Gemara asks, what v'hab sh'er didei like siva bezima? Wait a minute though, it doesn't say It doesn't say the word Zima by his relatives. It doesn't say by his grandchildren. It doesn't use the word Zima. It uses the word Zima only in connection with his wife's daughter and granddaughter. So how are we learning such a limud in the first place? And the answer is Omer Rava, Omer Rav Yitzchak Bar Vadimi, Asya Heina Heina Asya Zima Zima. Because we actually have a double Gzeira Shava over here. First, what we do is we learn by Gzeira Shava from the word Heina. Namely, by a man's own granddaughter, it says Eras Bas Bincha, Eras Bincha, Loi Segala Ervasan, do not have relations with them, Ki Ervascha Heina, because they are your Erva. Then you have the same word Heina is used in connection with a woman and her daughter, or a woman and her granddaughter. They also, it says Shara Heina. So you have, first of all, that Gzeira Shava. Second of all, then you have the Gzeira Shava of Zima. In other words, just like the first Gzeira Shava tells us that his granddaughters are like her granddaughters by virtue of the Gzeira Shava of the word Heina. Then we use the word Zima to say that also Srefa applies across the board to all of them. So we can learn that way. It's true. If we only had the Gzeira Shava on the word Zima, we wouldn't know that it includes his own granddaughters and his own daughter, as we're going to learn later. But once we have the Gzeira Shava Heina, then we use the Gzeira Shava Zima to say that it also includes them also as far as Seifa. Tosfos points out, since we're using a Gzeira Shava over here, therefore we can't really schlug it up in ways that the Gemara is going to use to schlug up later on certain other relationships, because once it says explicitly by one of them, and we use the Gzeira Shava by the other, so it's considered as though it said explicitly by all of them, and then you can't schlug that up. So that explains his Chorim Kenekevus. It doesn't just mean that his, it doesn't mean that his, it doesn't mean that, it, so the Schorim Kenekevus, it doesn't mean that, that his, that her grand, that her daughter's son and her daughter's daughter are equal. We don't need a limud for that. It's just clearly in the pasuk. It doesn't mean that his mother-in-law's mother and his father-in-law's mother are both equally also, because while that's true, we haven't gotten to that point in the Braisa yet. But rather, we're saying that how we know that his own granddaughters, that there's a chiyuv sreifa with them, just as there is with his wife's daughters and granddaughters, and the answer is from this double gzeira shava. Okay, omamar. So now we continued in the braisa. Minayin lasis l'mayla l'mata kilamayla. How do we know that what's below is like what's above? So my l'mata kilamayla. What exactly does that phrase mean? Ilema bas pno bas bita kibita. Again, do you mean that lower down, as in further down in the family tree, that her son's daughter and her daughter's daughter are the same as her daughter, and therefore, if he were to have relations with any of them, then there would be Srefa involved? You don't need that. Again, Bahadi Adobi Kassian. All of them, it says right there together in the pasuk. Eras Isho Vito Le Segale, Es Vaspinov, Es Vaspita. So all of them, it says one after the other in the pasuk. So Ella Aim Chamev Aim Chamoise Kahamoise. So you're going to say it means that his father-in-law's mother and his mother-in-law's mother are like his mother-in-law, and that there's a chiyuv misa, that there's sreifa in either case. The problem with that is Hailamata Kilamaila Lamaila Kilamata Dami. Then it's backwards. Lamaila means earlier generations. Lamata means later generations. So what is the Braisa saying? How do we know that Lamata, lower generations, meaning further down in the family tree, closer to you, therefore, are like the ones Lamaila up above, but here you're trying to say the other way around. You're trying to say that the higher generations, two generations back, namely his wife's grandmothers on either side, are going to be the same as his wife's mother. So that would be you're trying to say lamaila, that what's above is kilamata. So the verse is fine. Tony lamaila kilamata. Fine. Change the wording of the braisa and say, how do we know that lamaila is kilamata? Well, the Gemara says, Ihochi, if you're going to say it like that, what do you mean, nemakan zima v'nemalahalan zima? What do you mean that we're learning then the gzeira shava from the word zima? Consider the grandmothers-in-law are not even explicitly mentioned in the pasuk. We learn them from Gzeira Shava. Zima dihu ksiva. You're going to tell me that it says by them Zima, and you're going to learn Gzeira Shava from it. What do you mean the Braita is going to say Nema Kan Zima? It doesn't say Zima by them. Omar Abaya Hochi Kama. So again, Abaya comes in and then and explains this is what the Braita means. Minayin Lasis Shloisha Dirtis Shloisha Dirtis Lamaila Kishloisha Dirtis Lamata. It means how do we know that the three generations above, beyond his wife, are the same as three generations below. Namely, in other words, we have like this. When it comes to below, when it comes to descendants, the Pasuk is mentioning you have his wife herself, then you have the second generation, we're counting inclusively over here, so the wife is the first generation, the daughter of his wife is the second generation, and the granddaughters of his wife are the third generation. So how do we know what Lamaila is Kilamata? So how do we know that above is the same kind of thing, that also it applies not only to his, not, that, that beyond his wife, that you have also her mother, which is two, which is the second generation back, and also her grandmother's, which is the third generation back. So that's the Braisa that wants to know, how do we know that? And the answer is that there, here we have the Gzeira Shava, Nemela Mata Zima, Nemela Maila Zima, because both by generations below, where it mentions his wife's daughter and granddaughter, then it uses the word Zima, again in Parashas Achrimos, Nemela Lamaila Zima, and then you have the word Zima in connection with his wife's mother and grandmother. Actually, it only mentions his wife's mother, as Isha Vesima. Mala Mata Shloisha Dirtis, the same way as below. It extends down to the third generation. Aflamaila Shloisha Dirtis, the same way with the ones above. It means up to the third generation. So therefore, from that we learn that his grandmothers-in-law are in fact also to him midaraisa. Beyond that, by the way, they're also, but only midirabanan. We're not getting into didirabanans here really. Because here we're talking about when they're chayiv sereifa, and sereifa is only going to be for things that are daraisa. Now, that would only cover, now then, the Rashi explains now at this point, we've only covered the issur of it. So we have the azhara, we have the warning. So now we continue and we say, just like when it comes to the punishment, also lamata kilamaila, the pasuk equates those who are below with those who are above, namely, abzereshava zima, afaz horanami. The other way around. Before we had the punishment is the same, but we know ein oinshin elohim ken mazhirin. There has to be a warning in order for there to be a punishment. So far we've established that sreifa applies equally because of the gzeira shava zima applies equally to the three generations above as it does to the three generations below, namely the same way as with his granddaughters or step granddaughters, he'd be chayav misa the same way for his grandmothers in law. But where do we see the azhara? Where do we see the warning? So Maba Oinish, also Lamata Kilamaila, the same way as when it comes to the punishment, Lamata, the ones below his wife, the later generations, are like Lamaila, are like the ones above it, because of the Gzeira Shava of Zima, Af Adbaz Horanami, the same way when it comes to the warning, also Lamaila Kilamata, the same way the warning is also that the ones above his wife, the ones that his wife's ancestors, her grandmothers, are also like the ones below, with the same Gzeira Shava, so therefore, in effect, we have the Azhara. So we have the Azhara for both of them. So that's how Abaya, so in short, Abaya would learn the Braita as follows. In other words, how do we know that when it comes to Sreifa, that the Lamaila, the third generation above his wife, his wife's grandparents, how do we know that they are like Shloisha Dirtis Lamata, that they are like his wife's granddaughters? So then we have the word Zima in both cases, and therefore we're saying that it means that just like below, we're saying that Lamata is Kilamaila, that the granddaughters are just like the daughter, the same way Dirtis Kilamaila. We're saying that Lamaila is like Lamata, so his wife's grandmother would be just like his wife's mother. And then the Braisa is saying, then as far as the Azhara, so that's as far as the punishment, as far as the Azhara, just like by the Oynish, we have it compared, because again, we've used this Gzeira Shava now to say that it means Sreifa for all of them, the same way the Azhara, the same way the warning is the same, and the warning is across the board by all of them. So Rashi also mentions the point, therefore, this requires a buyer to say, we said before in the Gemara, Toni Lamaila Kilamata, this taka requires a buyer to be changing the girsa in the end of the braisa and be saying that the end of the braisa is saying the words, is saying Lamata, how do we know that Lamaila is like Lamata? And again, Marashah says that even the next answer in the Gemara, Rav Ashi's answer, is going to come out, also requires us to flip that around as well. So again, Abaya is slightly changing the wording of the Braisa, but he's explaining that that's what Lamata and Lamaila means, basically that on the one hand, Lamata, so Lamata and Lamaila means below and above in terms of generations. Lamaila means further up in the tree. Lamata means further down in the tree. And we're saying how we know, first of all, that it applies to the third generation up, just like it does to the third generation down. And then also, how do we know that the warning is equated by all of them? That the issue is equated by all of them. Okay, that's the point of Abaya. Rav Ashi gives a different explanation. We don't have to flip around at least in one part of the Braisa. We don't have to flip around Lamaila and Lamata. The Braisa can be saying, how do we know that Lamata is like Lamaila? So Abaya had flipped around all of them. All the references of Lamaila and Lamata, Abaya had flipped around and said that it means, how do we know that Lamata is Lamaila? So now Rav Ashi is saying that no, all of them Abaya had changed to say Lamaila is like Lamata. Now Rav Ashi is saying that some, or all of them at least, can be Lamata is like Lamaila. Or my Lamata, Lamata be'ithir. Lamata does not mean lower down in the family tree, it means lower down in the degree of Isser. So something of a lesser Isser would be called Lamata, and a more stringent Isser would be called Lamaila. namely, in other words, all of them there's still the Issur Sreifa, but what we're saying is that the grandmother-in-law is still considered lesser, because even though she's further up in the family tree, because it's one degree further removed. So even though the punishment is in fact the same, there is in fact Sreifa for both of them, as it says in the Mishnah, nevertheless we can call her Lamata in the sense that after all she is one generation further removed, and therefore there's less reason to think that she should be Osir. Nonetheless, she is. The Yad Ramah brings a different point as well, that the mother-in-law, her mother is also Daraisa. The grandmother-in-law's mother is also only Midrabanan, so therefore in that sense also we can say that the grandmother-in-law is a weaker Isser. The actual Isser for her is the same, and the actual punishment Sreifa is the same, but nevertheless there's a weakness in it in that compared to her daughter, the mother-in-law, namely that her own mother would be also only Midrabanan. Incidentally, in this connection, that Advaz mentions an interesting point, that after all, you know, a man's own grandmother or great grandmother is always, by definition, going to be much older than him. So there's not as much of an attraction to them. So therefore, maybe the Torah doesn't have to. So therefore, the Torah doesn't have to spell it out, and we're going to learn it from Limudim over here, as we're going to go on to say. On the other hand, though, his wife's grandmother, or even great grandmother, conceivably, a man could marry a wife that's much younger than him, and even her grandmother and even her great grandmother could be close to him in age, and therefore there would be much more of an attraction. And therefore, the Torah has to spell it out more clearly. So Rav Ashi is saying, "My lamata 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 be'isur." So the Tana is saying, "How do we know?" So the Braisa is saying, "How do we know that with his grandmother-in-law there is a sreifa, even though on the face of it you could argue that it's a lesser degree of isur, more so than the actual mother-in-law?" And the answer is because of the gzeira shavah zima. And we're saying that just like when it comes to the descendants of the woman, her daughter and her grandmother, all of them are included, whether it's a greater Isser or a lesser one, whether it's the daughter of his wife or the granddaughter of his wife, and still all of them share in the same Isser Sreifa, in the same Chiyuv Sreifa, so it would be also with the mother-in-law and the grandmother's-in-law. All right, the Gemara asks, if you're going to start comparing like that, you're going to start comparing between the relatives in different directions. E mahi aim ima asura. So then, in that case, if you're going to say that just the iser of his wife's relatives includes her mother's mother, afhu aim ima asura, then you would have to say that on a daraisa level, his own grandmother, his mother's mother, would be also to him. And the fact is that that's only also dirabanan. Midaraisa, his mother, is also to him, and there's skila for it, as we learned earlier in the Masechta. But his grandmother was actually mutter to him, daraisa, his mother's mother, and also to him only dirabanan. So why don't we make the same comparison? Why don't we say, therefore, that just like his wife's mother and his wife's mother's mother are both also Daraisa, so it should be the same with his. And after all, we did say before, at the top of the Amud, that there's a certain comparison between his relatives and hers. The answer is, Omar Baya, Omar Kra, Imcha Hi. Because the pasuk says, don't uncover your father's erva and don't have relations with your mother. Imcha Hi, she is your mother. So that means that Imcha Hi is a mute. Mishum Imay Yat Mechayva, you can only be Mechayv him when he has relations with his mother. V'yat Mechayva, Mishum Eim Imay, but not with his grandmother. So in other words, you have a mute in the pasuk that tells us not to learn that way. Urdu in the Masech, so we learned a different limud from the word Imcha. Tosfos points out that this is one of those cases where we can learn two things from the same mute. So that's one way of saying it's true. Logically, we ought to have said that his grandmother should be included as well, but his mother's mother, but because of this miut from the word he, we don't say that. And again, here you have the point that the Radvaz makes. The Torah maybe doesn't really have to answer it in the first place, because look, you know, how likely is it that his grandmother, by definition, is going to be considerably older than he, and therefore it's much less likely that there's going to be an attraction between them, as opposed to his wife's grandmother could well be much closer to him in age. Anyway, that's Abaya. Rava Omar, Rava says that no, you know what, never mind that mute. Even without that mute, there's no way that you could say that his own mother's mother is going to be also to him Daraisa. And we can prove it as follows. Now, you have Machloikas in various places in Shas. When we have a Gzeira Shava between two things, do we use the Gzeira Shava across the board and learn everything that we can from one thing to another, or do we only learn one particular thing that's mentioned in connection with one of them, and everything else stays the same? The one particular place this comes up where it's described in detail is in the Masechta Shavuos, in connection with Shavuos HaPikadon, in connection with the Shavuos that a Shomer takes that he didn't misuse or he wasn't careless with the thing. So you have a Gzeirah Shavah that's used over there. And you have this machloikas, which the Gemara discusses in detail. So we'll learn it, Baruch Hashem, in more detail later this year. But in any case, you have a machloikas there called as follows. Dun mina umina, learn from it and again learn from it. Meaning we're going to say, we're learning with the Gzeira Shava one particular detail that it mentions in the pasuk by one case, and we're applying it to the other. Dun mina umina would mean we continue to do that. We continue to take as many dinim as possible from the one case and apply it to the other one. The other way of looking at it is dun minav uki ba'asra. We learn the one particular thing that the pasuk says by one of them, and we apply it to the other. But other than that, we leave the rest of the dinim of the target din the way that they would have been otherwise. We don't learn anything else through this gzeira shava. So Rava points out, according to either opinion, you wouldn't be able to make this gzeira shava. Of Zima include his mother's mother as well. So Rava says, Bain Lamanda Oma Dun Mino Mino, Bain Lamanda Oma Dun Mino, Uki Ba'asra, either way, whether we're talking according to the two opinions, respectively, it's the mayor and the Chachamim there in Shavuos, of how Gzeira Shava works, either way, like Asya, either way, there would be no way to include the mother's mother. As follows, Rava explains. Lamanda Oma Dun Mino Mino, if you follow the opinion that Dun Mino Mino, that we try to learn everything we can with the Gzeira Shava, then we would start and say like this. Mahi Eim Ima Asura, Funami Eim Ima Asura. You would start by saying, well, just like with his wife, his wife's mother's mother is also, so also with him himself, his mother's mother would be also. Umina. And then we would continue learning, and we would say, Mahi b'sreifa, afu nami b'sreifa. You would say that just like he's chayev sreifa for having relations with his wife's mother's mother, the same way with his own mother's mother, the problem with that is that we can shrug that up. And Tosfos points out, the Gzeira Shava over here is not mufna, mishnei tzadin. The words zima over here are not that we're using for this Gzeira Shava are apparently not unnecessary in both places. In at least one of them, you need it for the simple meaning of the pasuk, and therefore the maiden, you could learn the Gzeira Shava or meshivin, but you could still slog it up. Namely, He would say as follows, Lamanda almost Srefa Chamura, according to the opinion of Reb Shimon that we learned earlier, that Srefa is more serious than Skila, Ikla Mifrach. And you could slug up the Gzera Shava as follows, Malahi, consider though, and you have a Chumra in the case of his wife, She'ima B'Srefa, where to have She'ima B'Srefa, where having relations with her mother involves Srefa, and according to Reb Shimon, Srefa is stricter than Skila. Toma Bohu, She'ima B'Skila, how would you compare with him? Where if he has relations with his own mother, there's Skila, and according to Reb Shimon, Skila is less severe than Srefa. So that would be a reason to slug up the Gzera Shava. Imoy b'skila, aim imoy b'srefa. Further, what would be the logic? Even if you were going to accept this gzera shava, you would say his own mother he should be chayv skila, his grandmother he should be chayv, and even stricter punishment according to Reb Shimon srefa. What's the logic? His grandmother is another generation removed back from him, and again, there's less likely to even be an attraction there in the first place. So why would there be a harsher punishment? So it wouldn't work. And not only that, there'd be a third way, according to this way of dun mino to say, mahi leshilaktobabin ima la'im ima, just like with his wife, there's no distinction between her mother and her grandmother, either way there's skila, either way there's srefa, afu nami le'tachlik babin ima la'im ima, the same way with his own relatives, with his own blood relatives, you would have to say that there's no difference between his mother and his grandmother, and both of them would be chayv skila, and that wouldn't work. So it wouldn't work, because then you're trying to say instead Srefa. So you can't learn, in other words, that you can't learn, you can't learn, so ultimately, if you're trying to learn from his wife's grandmother, that for his own grandmother, he should be Chayiv Srefa, you wouldn't, you would end up saying Skila. Ulamando Oma Skila Chamura, and for that matter, according to the Chachamim, who say that Skila is more serious, Mehai Kusha Loiniduna, that last question alone would be enough to slog up this Gzera Shava, because this attempted Gzera Shava to say that with his grandmother there would be Srefa, because again, then the logic would tell us, if anything, there was going to be Skila, and if you're going to do that, then you're not using the Gzera Shava anyhow. So that's all according to the opinion of Reb Meir, that dun mino mino, that when we learn one thing from another with a Gzera Shava, we try to derive everything that we can. What about Olamando Omer dun mino v'uki ba'asra? What about according to the Chachamim, that we learn only the main thing from one thing to another with a Gzera Shava, but anything else... So Rashi says, in other words, what we mean is, when we say dun minava uki ba'asra, what we mean is anything that it says explicitly by the target din, we leave that way. Anything that it didn't say explicitly, then fine, we're going to learn by the Gzera Shava. So if you're going to say like that, then let's learn differently over here. If you say dun minava uki ba'asra, we use Gzera Shava, we learn a certain din, a certain detail that it says by one of them to the other, but other than that, we leave the dinim of the target the way they would normally be. Well, then let's try to work it out. Mahi ein imasura. You'd start the Gzera Shava by saying that, just like with his wife, who mother's mother is Osir, Afu Nami Eim Ima Asura, you'd say Midaraisa, his own mother's mother is also Osir, Vu Uki Ba'asra, fine, you would try to leave the rest of the dinim of the target in place, you would say Hosam Hu Dis Bisrefa, Aval Hocha Biskila, so unlike in the previous approach, where once we're doing the Gzera Shava, we would try to learn Srefa as well, from one to the other, and we said that's not going to work, according to Reb Shimon, because Srefa is more strict than Skila, and according to the Chachamim, because once we're saying Skila by the mother, and you can't say Srefa by the grandmother, because then you're not using the Gzera Shava anyhow. If you're saying Dun Minova Uki Ba'asra, you're not doing that anyway. To begin with, you're not saying that the Gzera Shava is going to teach anything about the type of Misa. You'd be saying only that it teaches us about the fact that there's an Isser. The problem with that is, So you'd say Mahi Eim Ima Asura, Funami Eim Ima Asura. You'd try to use the Gzera Shava to say that in both cases there's an Isur Daraisa for Uki Ba'astra, but you'd leave the rest of the dinim alone, and you'd say just like with the mother, there's Skila. The same way with the mother's mother, there has to be Skila. So that we'd say Hosam Hudi B'Srefa. So only when it comes to his grandmother-in-law would there be Srefa. Aval Hocha, but with his own grandmother B'Skila. kid ashkechon me'ima, and therefore that would be, in other words, that his grandmother would be the same as his mother. There'd be skila in both of them. Still, that wouldn't work, says Rav Elazar, and there's no way that you could use that to learn such a thing. Lamanda amar sreifa chamura, according to the opinion that sreifa is more severe, ikalim nifrach, then you could slug it up, malahi shekein ima b'sreifa, because how can you compare with his wife? Yeah, you have sreifa, it's more stringent, so therefore you're including her mother as well. Terma b'hu she'ima b'skila, according to the Shimon, that skila is less serious, and how you're learning with Xavier Shava to his mother, which is less stringent, which according to the Shimon, skila is less stringent than sreifa. V'oid, and not only that, hu kehi. We should have to say that there has to be a similarity between his relatives and hers. Mahila shilaktuba ben bita la'im ima, with his wife, there's no difference between her daughter and her mother's mother. Srefa applies across the board to all of them. Afhule taflakwe ben bita la'im ima. In the same way, there should be no distinction between his daughter and his mother's mother. The problem with that is that doesn't work, because then you're going to have by his daughter it's Sreifa, as we're going to learn later on the Amud, as we'll learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and by his mother-in-law, by his grandmother, as you just said, you would try to learn Skila, so it wouldn't work. So one way or the other. In other words, you're gonna slug it up one way or the other. It's not gonna work. Ulamanda am a skila chamura, and according to the chachamim that skila is more stringent. Mehai kusha loy nidona. Then again, that last question alone. Fine, you can't say skila is less stringent than sreifa. According to the chachamim, it's more stringent. But still, the very fact that you have then a contradiction. You're one way or the other. You're gonna be stuck if you're gonna say that you learn from his wife. Then you should have to say it means that the punishment for the relative should be the same, and by his wife, both her daughter and her grandmother is both Sreifa, whereas by him, you'd have to be saying his daughter is Sreifa and his grandmother is Skila, and it wouldn't work. So in short, Rava is saying, no matter how you look at it, there's no way to use that Zeta Shava to say that his grandmother should be also to him Daraisa, and therefore, in fact, we don't use that Zeta Shava, and Daraisa, his grandmother, would be Mutter to him, and only Dirabbanan is she also as one of the Shniyas. And again, we have the vort that the Radvaz says, in turn, actually based on a Meiri, that the Torah generally asers, the Torah asers the ones that are more likely, and not the ones that are less likely. And again, as the Radvaz points out, it's somewhat less likely for a man with his grandmother, because his grandmother is going to be decades older than him, as opposed to his wife's grandmother, who may well be close to him in age, and therefore he might have more of an attraction to her. So we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and we're going to work out this kind of thing as far as other relatives, how exactly we work out the chi of Missa by each one of them.